Well, I'll tell you, we have something very exciting that we're about to enter into right now. In our church family, we don't baptize babies, and you can hear some babies that are living right now, which is a good thing. It's a sign of life. We don't baptize babies, but rather we see our children dedicated to the Lord. And so I'm asking those two families to come. And it's okay, we have life. That's come. You can come right on up. Two families to come right up on the platform. And let's welcome them as we sing Jesus Loves Me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. You know, there was a time in the Bible when there were mothers and probably some dads too, and they were bringing their little children to Jesus so that he might lay their hands on them and bless them. And so that's what we're going to do today. And I'm going to start today with Burke and Tanea's family. So family, come up here, and you can just, Tanea, you can keep holding Bryson because he's well alive. But I'd like to ask Dominic and Riley, come on over here and come on down. And can you sit down right beside me here? Yeah. Can you sit on my knee? Is that okay? All right. That's beautiful. Right here. There we go. And so what happened is Jesus, praise God, this is alive. I love this. This is good. Jesus, it was just like this, right? Like, this is real life. This is good. So the mothers were bringing these babies for Jesus to bless. And the disciples said, stop. Don't bring them. And Jesus got very angry with his disciples. He said, no, no, no. You need to understand something. Unless you become as one of these little children, you cannot be saved. You can't get to heaven. And if you want to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven, you need to be like one of these little children. And so this family, we're going to start with you, Burke and Tanea. I can see that this family has been a rich blessing in your life. Isn't that true?
Yes.
Yeah. Sleeping patterns change.
Slightly.
Unexpected things can happen. But it's good. It's life. And so Jesus took the children and he blessed them. And so I just want to say, Tanea, as mom, are you going to do all that you can do just to see that your children are raised in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord?
Yes.
You are? Wonderful. And Burke, I want to ask you, as the spiritual head of the home, are you going to do all that you can do to see that these children are found in the house of the Lord with the people of God?
Yes.
Amen. And now, congregation, I've got a question for you. As we have a wonderful opportunity to interact with this family, are you going to do all that you can do to bless them in the name of Jesus? If so, please say we will. And now extend your hands towards these, please. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you today. First of all, I want to thank you for Bryson and Father, in the name of Jesus. Just bring Bryson a little bit closer. In the name of Jesus, we want to dedicate to you Bryson Robert Buma. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, for putting your hand upon him, for blessing him. And Lord, I want to thank you also for Dominic. There's Dominic in my lap here, right? Dominic, you're a good-looking young man. And I just thank you, Lord, for Dominic. Dominic, you're going to remember this day forever. I thank you, Lord, for Dominic, that your hand of blessing is on him, and your hand of grace is on him. And Father, I pray that you would bless him in this home. And Father, I want to thank you today for Riley. And we dedicate Riley Gerben Buma to you in the name of Jesus Christ. And I want to thank you for this home of faith. I just pray for Burke and Tanea as they raise these children, Lord, that the beautiful grace of God will be with them. And we bless them today in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And the church said together,
amen.
Praise God. Give this family a hand. Didn't they do great? And I have something for you, Burke, please, just that I can hand to you. This is for your beautiful children. God bless you, and you may be comfortably seated. Amen. You did great. Praise the Lord. God bless you, my dear. Amen. Well, that was part A. You know what I was going to say? Is this baby dedication is brought to you by the letter B. Because we have, you know, we have the Boomas, and now we have the Brotons. And this is so exciting. Come on up here. And, you know, we were just praying for you to have a baby, and God had other things in mind. Bless them with two. I'm just wondering, Sarah, has life around the Broton household changed at all since the birth of these beautiful girls? Yeah. Big changes. And you know what the Bible says? It says that children are the blessing of the Lord. And so, Sarah, I just want to say to you as the mom, are you going to do everything that you can to see that these children are raised in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord? Amen. Now this is almost an unfair question to ask a pastor, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, here's the truth. Sometimes as the pastor, I wake up in the morning and I think, I look in the mirror, I don't feel like going to church today. And my wife says, you got to go, you're the preacher. So Pastor Karsten, are you going to do all that you can to see that these girls are found in the house of the Lord with the people of the Lord as the spiritual head of the home?
I will.
Amen. And now, so I'm going to try to see, let me see if I can, is this Nora? See, I knew I was going to do that. Is this Iris?
Yeah.
See? I'm going to try to see if I can hold Iris. Let's see what happens. Hello, beautiful girl. How are you? You're such a good girl. Father, we thank you today for Iris. And Lord, we want to dedicate Iris and Broughton to you. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. God, we want to thank you that she will be the handmaiden of the Lord. And we thank you for the home that she's been born into. Bless her today in Jesus' precious name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Well, that was easy. Praise God. All right. Look at that. I mean, we are so excited we're kicking off our shoes. Isn't that awesome? Is this Nora? I'm going to see if I can do the same to Nora. Hello, beautiful girl. Oh, my goodness. You are such a beautiful darling. Let's see. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you today for Nora Evangeline Broughton. And Father, we dedicate her to you today in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, that your hand of grace and blessing and goodness will be on her, Lord, and she'll learn to know, to grow, to serve you all the days of her life. Bless her, we ask in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said together, man, these girls are good. You trained them very well, Mama. And so, Pastor Karsten and Sarah, the Lord bless you. And the Lord bless your family. Give them a great big hand. Didn't they do well, those girls? Hallelujah. And so, if you're part of our church family, and you know you have children, and you've not dedicated them to the Lord, just contact the church office, because that's one of the things that we love to do. And we're very glad that you are with us as well today. In a moment, we're going to receive the Lord's tithe and our offerings. I'd like you to take note of one insert that's in the bulletin. And before you do, I want to ask a question. How many of you are glad that you had the freedom to come here today where you could worship the Lord Jesus Christ? Isn't this a wonderful blessing for us? And the truth of the matter is, not everyone who's a part of our church family can do that. And so we are having December 1st Spa Serve Day. And you can see in your bulletin that we are going to be having 60 poinsettias. Poinsettia? Poinsettia? Tomato? Tomato? Potato? But I don't know. 60 of those red plants? They'll be ready. And they're going to have addresses on them. And so we need 60 of you just to volunteer to take one of these plants and take them to a home of people that would love to be here worshiping with us, but they can't because they're just not physically able to do that anymore. So thank you so much for filling that out. And then on Sunday, December the 1st, in the 9 o'clock service and also in the 10:30 service, following those services, you'll be able to pick up those plants, just take it to that household, and just give it to that person, pray a prayer, blessing, something like this. You know what? We're thinking about you. We have this plant for you. God bless you over this Christmas season. So it won't take a lot of time, but we just need some help. Everybody say, Spa Serve Day.
Spa Serve Day.
Sunday, December 1st. Thank you so much for filling that out. Ushering team, please come. We're going to wait on you for the Lord's tithe. and your offerings. And I just want to commend you before we take up our offering this morning as a faithful congregation. I want to thank you for being faithful, first of all, in the tithe. And we talked about that already in that prophecy that was given. And of course, the tithe enables us to do things. Now, I want to do something here, and I'd really like you to help me if you were here at this time. How many of you were here when the church moved from 99th Street to this location? Please put your hand up high if you were here. Now, look around, folks. Give these people a hand, please. I want you to know that in the Heritage Hour, almost, I would say, about 75% of the hands went up. And I want to thank you for your faithfulness in just building a beautiful house of worship. I remember when I came into the sanctuary, I said, wow, I think we have one of the nicest sanctuaries in Canada, and I still feel the same way. But I'll tell you something. People coming onto this property would not know that this church is over 30 years old. And you know why? It's because of your faithfulness. It's because of the tithe that we were able to do things at the front of the building, like do our lighting and illuminate the cross. It's because of the tithe that we were able to go ahead in these media upgrades that are so important. And you might notice that the pews have been kind of, they've been beautifully, masterfully moved by Doug Sam. I saw you here, Doug, didn't I? Where are you, Doug? There you are. Thank you. Give Doug a hand. These are a beautiful job that's been done here. And the next thing that will be happening in the new year is we'll be having the platforms with the cameras coming on so that we can extend our ministry from this house onto the web and extend this ministry in this house as well. Things like our media upgrade, our cameras, the renovations that we've done in the church all over on all the different levels. I mean, when people come into the house, I hope that those of you who took the faith to step forward and build this house feel a sense of good pride in what people are doing. And I want to thank you for being faithful in the tithe, going into the general fund. That's how we do all of the ministries that we do. And then on behalf of our missionaries, I want to thank you in being faithful in the offering. We support over 21 mission families all over the world who've left family and friends and familiarity. And so I want you to know that as you're faithful in the tithe, and if you haven't learned to tithe yet, I want you to step out and begin to do that. God will pour out a blessing that you cannot contain. And so let's pray before we give. Father, we want to thank you for the faithfulness of the people of God today. And Lord, I just pray for anybody that's here visiting that they will feel no pressure to give in this offering, but they can put that prayer request into the offering, and we'll pray over that. But thank you as church family. We don't give because we have to. We give because we get to. And you've said that God loves a person that gives cheerfully. And so I pray that as we give cheerfully today, that you would open up the windows of heaven and pour us out such blessing that we can't contain it. I pray it in the strong name of Jesus. And everybody said, thanks for your faithfulness and giving. God bless you today. Taking up our offering. As we're entering into this Christmas season, I want to say a special thank you to everyone who helped my wife Wanda with some of our Christmas decorating. You might notice that the foyer's got decorating, but I want to especially thank Christine Opgenorth, who does such a wonderful job. Even the outside plants are Christmas, and the gym is ready. Let's give all those who helped with our Christmas decorating to this point a hand and a thank you. And I want to say this, there's just a few tickets left. We're almost sold out for our spa ladies' Christmas banquet that kind of kicks off our Christmas season tomorrow called Glow. But are there any tickets left or are they gone? There's a few. There's a few tickets left. And so if you want them, yes, there are some. A few tickets left. I got the nod from both sides. But it's going to be first come, first serve for tomorrow. But if you're an active adult, if you're 55 plus, we're having our active adults banquet and those tickets are also on sale. So thank you so much for picking those up. We're continuing in our series on all. And the Lord Jesus Christ gave his all. God the Father gave his all for us. Everyone, please say all. And today we're talking about all majesty. All majesty. And so the God who gave all for us, we want to give all for him. This text, this three-week sermon series is coming out of Jude. And so I'd like you to read it together with me, please. It's on the screen. Let's read it. All glory, majesty, power, and authority are his before all time, in the present, and beyond all time. Amen. And I'd like you to turn to Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 8, page 521 in the Blue Pew Bible. Just find that Blue Pew Bible right in front of you, please, and turn to page 521, because we're going to read this text together that is a reflection of the majesty of God. So Isaiah chapter 6, let's stand, please, and let's read this out loud together in concert. Isaiah chapter 6, we're going to read together from verse 1 down through verse 8. All right, let's read together. It was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. They were calling out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Then I said, "It's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, "See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed, and your sins are forgiven." Then I heard the Lord asking, "Whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us?" I said, "Here I am, send me." And in this series on giving of our all, I want us to open again with that verse of the hymn about surrender, "All to Jesus, I surrender." Can we sing it together, please? It's the next slide. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Would you pray with me, please? Our Father in heaven, I pray today that even as Isaiah was caught up, that, Father, we would be caught up as the church, as those who have experienced salvation, that you'd give us another vision today of who you are. And I pray for anybody that might be here that hasn't received the gift of God unto eternal life, faith in Jesus Christ, that you would let them respond to that invitation, that God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son. I thank you in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. When we speak about God's majesty, we're speaking about the awesomeness of who he is. And I want to take four things out of this text that we read from Isaiah. In my Bible, there's a caption that says, "Isaiah's cleansing and call." And so what I would like you to think about as a child of God is I would like to ask you, when did you see him? Because you must see his majesty. Isaiah said, "I saw the Lord." Would you say that with me, please? I saw the Lord. Now, I know that for probably all of us, none of us saw the Lord like Isaiah is seeing the Lord here. We see him by faith. The Bible says that the just will live by faith. And so it's faith in what God has done by sending Jesus Christ to come to live the perfect life, born of a virgin, to die on the cross, to be resurrected from the dead, so that we can have a living faith relationship with Christ and know salvation. I saw the Lord. Yesterday morning, at 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock, there's a group of us that gather together to pray for Sunday. We pray for the day when people will come into this house, that God will actually meet with them. And so I asked those who were praying yesterday to tell me when it was, if they had to pick one moment out of their lives, when was it that they saw the Lord? And I shared with them that for me, it was when I was 18. Even though I grew up in church all of my life, when I was 18, I made that faith commitment to Christ, and I became born again, and I knew that my sins were forgiven. So I said, if I had to pick one, that would be it for me. But in that group, there were different ages. Some people were 5 years old. Some people were 15. Some were 21, and some were 35. But I want to ask you as a believer, if you had to pick a time and a place and a space where you can say with certainty, I saw the Lord, when would that be? And I want you to think of how old you were. You see, because for those of us who are in the church, and understand I'm not talking about the church building, but for those of us that have responded to the call of salvation that Jesus has invited us to, when we say, I saw the Lord, we're talking about the day that we knew we were forgiven, the day that we knew we were adopted as a child of God, the day that we knew that we belonged to the body of Christ. And so if you think about that day when you saw the Lord, what you experienced is you experienced forgiveness. You experienced your guilt being taken away. You experienced the sense that now you were a child of God. You experienced the reality that God took a stony heart out of you and gave you a fleshly heart. He put a new mind in you, and you began at that moment to live for Jesus Christ. I saw the Lord, Isaiah said. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. You must see his majesty. You must. For there is no one holy as the Lord. In the presence of God are created what we have read in Isaiah this morning, and also what we have read here in Revelation this morning, what we have read in Isaiah together. We see the creation of these angelic beings that have these wings, six wings, and they have eyes on the inside and on the outside. Kind of like the teenager, you think the mom has eyes in the back of her head. Well, these beings are way better than that. They've got eyes all over, inside and out. And they're constantly flying in the presence of God. And they're constantly saying, would you say these three words with me once again, please? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Now, I've asked you already to think about the one time when you met God. Now, what I'd like you to do is think about this. Think about those moments in your faith life when God revealed his holiness to you. When it may have been you were just reading the Bible at home, or maybe it was a time at church, or maybe it was in a camp or a particular youth retreat or a ladies retreat or a men's retreat where God revealed his holiness to you. And you had a sense of who he was. And I know for us as children of God, those moments happen in our faith journey. You must see his majesty. You see, these angelic beings that are in the presence of God, they are crying out all day and all night, holy, holy, holy. Would you say that once again with me, please? Holy, holy, holy. And they never get bored. They never get bored, because just like that time when God revealed his holiness to you, just like that time when you had another revelation of who God was as you walked with him, these angelic beings are uncovering another depth of the absolute holiness, the absolute majesty of God, which can never be plumbed to its depths. And so they're forever saying, holy, holy is the Lord. You must see his majesty, for there is none as holy as the Lord. And the heavens, in fact, display the glory of our God. The psalmist said, O Lord our God, your majestic name fills all the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. It makes me think of that hymn, How Great Thou Art. O Lord my God, when I awesome wonder, consider all the worlds that thy hands have made. when I look down from the mountains, the lofty mountain grandeur, when I see the birds in the trees, when I hear the running of the stream, when I see the wind, when I see the ocean, the chorus sings, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. And so all of creation declares the wonders of God. It declares the majesty of God. And the Bible tells us this, that even if someone never preaches to us that Jesus Christ is Lord, by creation, we're going to be held accountable. Because the very heavens declare the glory and the majesty of God. And concerning the heavens and everything that there is, Jesus Christ holds everything in the universe together. Now, that baby dedication that we had this morning reminds us of that children's chorus that says, he's got the whole world in his hands. I like what it says too. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got you and me, sister, in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. But not only does Jesus Christ have the whole world in his hands, Jesus Christ holds everything that is together. Look at what Scripture says about him. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. You must see his majesty. It's Jesus Christ that causes the earth to spin at the right speed so we don't fall off. It's Jesus Christ that causes the sun to be the proper distance from planet Earth so that we don't either burn up or freeze to death. Every atom in your body is being held together by Jesus Christ. Everything in all creation is being held together by his majesty. You must see his majesty. And something happens when you do see his majesty. When you do see his majesty, you must then surrender to his majesty. Isaiah was a very holy man. If you could have taken a poll at that day and said, who is the most upstanding, righteous, holy man that there is in town, perhaps in the whole community, perhaps in the whole region, people would have pointed to Isaiah. But you see, when you see his majesty, when you see who God is, then you see yourself. And when Isaiah was caught up into the holiness of God, he said this, then I looked and I said, it's all over. I am doomed. Now, doomed is not a very encouraging word, is it? Do you know what the Bible says for those of us who are outside of the grace of God, who are outside of the gift of Christ? It doesn't say we're sick. It says we're dead. I mean, you can't get worse than dead. It says we're dead in our trespasses and dead in our sins. And Isaiah, as holy as he was, as compared to every other human being, when he saw God, he surrendered to his majesty and said, I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips. And if people could have heard Isaiah saying this, they would have said, whoa, Isaiah, stop. That's just a negative confession. Isaiah, I've heard you speak. You never swear, you never curse, you never talk about anyone in a bad way. You don't have filthy lips. That's what people would say. But compared to the holiness, the majesty of God, he said, I have filthy lips. And when you surrender to his majesty, this is also what you see. And I live among a people with filthy lips. You see, when you see God, it's the great leveler of all humanity. There's one God, and then there's us. And we must, when we see him, surrender to his majesty. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. Revelation chapter 1, I won't read it. But John, the one whom Jesus loved, was caught up, and he had a revelation of Jesus. And when John saw Jesus in all of his glory, it says, I fell at his feet like a dead man. When you see him, you must surrender to his majesty. For it's our sinful nature that disqualifies us from heaven. It's not what we did. It's who we are. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world, and Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone. Would you please say everyone? Circle that in your notes. Everybody. Everyone, for everyone sinned. You see, if you do the leaf, what do they call that thing? Ancestry.ca? Plug. I think they give you three leaves for free, and then you got to pay. But if you trace the leaf back to the beginning, guess what? We all come from the same mama and the same papa, Adam and Eve. And this is what disqualifies us from heaven. This is what differentiates us and separates us from God. And the truth is, since everybody has sinned, everyone requires radical heart surgery. Now, in the natural, we understand that the heart keeps us alive. But biblically, when we're separated from God, we have stony, cold hearts, and God needs to put a heart of flesh in us. He needs to, when we surrender, he changes our hearts. I remember when I was attending the Anglican Church, that at the end of many of the church services, the priest would say a benediction from the Bible. And it's really a beautiful prayer because, you know, man looks on the outside, but God looks upon our hearts. And I'd like you to just say this as a prayer with me this morning, this text that's coming up on the screen right now. It says this. Let's say it together. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. You see, when we serve God, we serve him from our heart. And it's the heart that the Lord looks at. And so after we've seen the Lord, we must surrender to his majesty because of who he is. And we must come to understand that it is Jesus Christ alone who secures your eternal salvation. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, it says this: the Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins. When Jesus on the cross said, "It is finished," when he died, and when God raised him from the dead. When Jesus Christ, the one whom John said, "Here, behold, here's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world," when he willingly gave up his life and shed his precious blood on that cross, he cleansed us from our sins. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. And Christian, I've got great news for you. Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, and do you know what he's doing? He's praying for you. He's praying that you'll keep on keeping on. He's praying that you'll keep on believing. He's praying that you won't give up. He's praying that you'll understand the riches of his grace that are in your life and the beautiful purpose that he has called you toward. He sat down at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. So Isaiah, he saw the Lord. When you see the Lord in his majesty, you must surrender to the Lord. And when you surrender to the Lord, you must be saved from his majesty. No one can stand in the presence of God and not be judged. There's no one who will ever be good enough to make it on their own merit. The holiness, the awesome holiness of God will undo you, and if you don't find forgiveness, it will condemn you. There is a place that God created for the devil and his angels called hell, and there's two places where the human soul goes after this life. There's hell, which was never created for man. It was created for the devil and his angels, and there's heaven. And the Bible's very clear that God doesn't want anybody to perish, but God is not going to force anybody to do anything. It's up to you to choose to receive God's gift of eternal life. But for those who reject God, then they have to stand before his blazing holiness. And there's only the only place that we can find salvation is from the very altar of God. It's from the very throne room of God. And that's what happened with Isaiah. He said, "I'm undone, I'm unclean, I've got unclean lips. Everybody's got unclean lips. We're doomed." Then came from the altar a coal with tongs. And it says, he touched my lips with it. And he said, "See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed." Christian, listen. The Bible says there is therefore now no, would you please say no, condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When you come to God and receive his sacrifice, there is no condemnation. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven. Do you know what the Bible says? As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us. The Lord has chosen to remember our sins against us no more because of what Jesus has done. If that makes you glad, say amen. Amen. You must be saved from his majesty. And the truth is this: Jesus Christ is the only name that can save you. The Bible says it this way: there is no other name. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name, would you say his name with me, other than the name of? Friends, that's why we have to tell people. That's why we have a children's musical coming, Isaiah Jones. That's why we have children that sing about the love of Jesus. And the Bible says, let a little child lead them. And you've got an opportunity to invite people during this Christmas season. That's why we have our choir preparing a musical, Noel. And they're going to be presenting that musical. And I want to encourage you. You know, we've got two presentations of our children's musical. We've got four presentations of our choir musical. Bring someone with you that they would discover the love and the grace of God, because it's only the name of Jesus that God has given whereby we must be saved. You must be saved from His majesty. Truth of Scripture is this: no one will find eternal life without finding Christ. Not even one person. There will not be one person that will get into heaven unless they go through Jesus Christ, who is the great I Am, who is the Alpha and the Omega, who is the beginning and the end. Interesting that even Jesus' disciples doubted him after being with him for 3.5 years. He said to them, because he was going back to heaven and he was going to send the Holy Spirit into the dispensation that we now live, where the Spirit of God lives in our hearts. And he said to his disciples, now you know where I'm going. And I love what Thomas said. Thomas basically said this in John 14. He said, Jesus, we don't have a clue where you're going, so how can we know the way? Do you feel that way today? Do you feel that you don't know the way to God? Do you feel that maybe you don't know the way to forgiveness? Do you feel that you're not sure if your heart stopped beating today that you would go to be with Jesus in heaven? Well, listen to these words. Jesus said to Thomas and the disciples and to me and to all of us here, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one, would you please say no one? Not even one. No one can come to the Father except through me. You see, the hymn writer said it like this: Jesus paid it all. He paid for my sin. He paid for your sin. He paid for the sins of the whole world. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washes it white as snow. No one will find eternal life without finding Jesus Christ. And when we find him as sons and daughters of God, Jesus Christ calls us to a new way of living and a new way of loving. The grace of God has been revealed, it says, bringing salvation to all people. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world. Listen, we're living in an evil world. And in these end times, it's only going to get evil-er, more evil. There's only going to be coming more darkness. But at the same time that the world will be going in the last days from worse to worse, and at the same time when men's hearts will be getting harder and harder, God will still be pouring out of his grace. And here's what I've found. Light shines the brightest on the darkest night. And so we should live in this evil world with wisdom, with righteousness, and with devotion to God. I love what our mission statement is as a church. It's on the front of your bulletin. We have a mission statement in this congregation. If you know it, would you say it with me? Our mission is to be loving God and leading people to the living Lord. That's what we're about as Christians. We're just people who've been saved by God's grace, and we want to tell other people about the good things that God has done. And so he calls us to a new way of living and loving. We must see his majesty. When we see his majesty, we must surrender to his majesty. When we surrender, we must be saved by his majesty. And I love what happens as this process grabs our hearts. We must serve his majesty. Would you just say with me, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. You know, even as Mary said, whatever he says to you, do it. I'm so glad that the Bible tells us that everybody that is a child of God is led by the Spirit of God. Now, I have to tell you the truth. I've never heard the audible voice of God, and I'm not ashamed of that. I've never had an angel appear to me and say, Doug, do this or do that, and I'm not ashamed of that. But I need to tell you something else. Every time that I hear this word, the Bible, I hear from God. This is his holy word. There's so much in this word that tells me and shows me how to live. And beyond that, there is the voice of the Holy Spirit. Listen, when you're just going about your day and you have a thought and it's a good thought, just do it. That's a God thought. That's how God speaks to you. Stop whatever it is, wherever you're going, and if you, maybe it's pick up the phone, maybe it's visit this person, maybe it's whatever it is, and it's a God thought, just stop what you're doing and do that thing. There's no greater pleasure than serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in your workplace, you know, God calls you to serve him well. Then I heard the Lord asking, whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? And I said, and would you say these last words with me for you, please? Here I am, send me. Wow! You need, God believes in you. God's sending you. God's giving you a message. You must serve his majesty as you are his child. And there's no higher calling than serving the Lord. I love the Westminster Shorter Catechism. It says this, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to serve him forever. There's no higher calling. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Let all that I am, the psalmist said, praise the Lord. O Lord, my God, how great you are. You are robed with honor and majesty. You must serve. You must serve the Lord because there's no higher calling. There's no greater privilege. There's no greater honor than serving him. And I want to tell you how God expects us to serve him. He doesn't expect us to serve him haphazardly or oh, do I have to? No. God wants us to serve him with all of our heart. We're to love the Lord with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. At the Last Supper, you've seen that painting, all of the guys were waiting for the servant to arrive in the room. They all had stinking feet. And they were all thinking the same thing, where is the servant? And they were all thinking, I'm not going to wash his feet. He's a big mouth. I'm not going to wash those brothers' feet. They want to take over. They want to be at the right hand of Jesus. They're too proud. They're all sitting there until the servant finally walked in. And Jesus Christ picked up the robe and took the basin and took the robe off. And he washed all of the disciples' feet. And he washed even the feet of Judas. God calls us to serve with all our heart. So work willingly. Work willingly at whatever you do. As though you were working for the Lord. In your schooling, do it willingly. In your workplace, do it willingly. Raising your family and your children, do it willingly. Whatever it is that you're doing, do it with all of your heart. Listen, it's so much better when you work with all of your heart than just putting in half of a day. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward and that the master you're serving is Christ. So God calls us to serve with all our heart. Jesus put it this way to his disciples. He said, now that I, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, you need to learn from me and you need to wash one another's feet. God calls us to serve with all of our heart. And here's the good news, Christian. You don't do it for men, you do it for God because God will honor your faithful service. God said the same thing to you that he said to his disciples, come follow me. That's what Jesus said. You come and follow me and you let me show you what to do and how to live. And Jesus said this, anyone who wants to be my disciple must follow me because my servants must be where I am and the Father will honor anyone who serves me. Do you know how much God will honor you for? The Bible says God will even honor you down to the cup of cold water that you give in his name. God sees everything you do, every word of kindness, every act of service, every time that you say, yes, Lord, to his service. God will honor you for that for all of eternity itself. And the best news of all is this. Your faithful service will call other people to heaven. Jesus said that if you lift up the cross, I will draw all men unto myself. So in the same way, let your good deeds shine for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Would you bow with me, please, in a word of prayer? All majesty. Lord, so many of us in this room have already seen you. We've seen you by faith, and I know for me, when I had to pick that one moment, it was some 40 years ago. But I've come to understand that even some 40 years later, I still need to see you more. I still need to discover more of your majesty. And so, God, help us who have already received you to see you better. When we see you, Lord, help us to surrender and walk in the fullness of our salvation. And God, help us to serve you, I pray, with all of our heart and all of our soul, with all of our mind and with all of our strength. And Father, I pray if there are people here that know about Jesus, I mean, the story of Jesus is familiar to you, as it was for me. I grew up all of my life going with my family to church, heard all about Jesus, knew the Easter story, knew the Christmas story. It was familiar to me. But Lord, I pray for any one of us who's here today who thinks somehow you've got to be good enough to go to church. Actually, you can't be good enough to come to church. You've got to be bad to come to church. Jesus said, I didn't come for those who think they have it all together. I came for those who know that they're sick. I didn't come for those who already think that they're righteous. I came for those who need to be saved. And so, Lord, I just pray that if there's people here in this house today that just haven't simply said yes to Jesus, haven't said a prayer something like this, and it's not the words, but it's the heart position. Haven't said something like, God, I need you. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ to pay for my sins on the cross. Thank you that not only did he die for my sins, but he rose again. So God, change me. I want to be more like Jesus. Come into my life. Take charge. I want to call you my Lord. I want to surrender to you. I pray, God, for all of us that are here today that haven't done that, that right now you'd draw near to us. Because here's the deal. Jesus Christ is not a religion. He is a living, breathing, vibrant relationship. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. And when you make that commitment to him, you will be forgiven and your life will change forever. Church, if that's true, say amen.